It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and I'm so glad you joined me for the program today. Going to be talking about a very important subject. Going to be talking today about overcoming the mind. Solomon writes in Proverbs 4, he says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's body." And then he says this great verse in verse 23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." One translation says, "Guard your heart, for out of it proceed the issues of life." You know, so many times we say we live by the Word of God, and that's really not true. We live by how much of the Word of God we have inside of our hearts, inside of our minds. Apart from Jesus Christ, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. And back in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, God appeared to Solomon one night. And he said in verse 7, he says, "Ask me for whatever you want me to give you." Can you imagine how tough that would be if God came to you and said, "Ask me for anything you want"? Perhaps we would say a new Lexus or a new car or a new home. But Solomon, when he said what it was he desired in his heart, he said this in verse 10, "Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" What an amazing thing to ask God for. And God gives it to him. That's why it's so important to read the book of Proverbs on a daily basis. It's better than 30 minutes with the wisest counselor you could find by going to God's word and reading the Proverbs. In verse 23, he says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Friend, let me ask you today, what is your heart? I'm not talking about the muscle that pumps blood throughout your body. I'm talking about your mind. When God speaks of the heart, he means the thoughts, the feelings, and the emotions. He's talking about that soul part of man. Do we guard our mind? We would do better guarding our money or guarding our families, our treasure, and our time. But do we guard our heart? That is the one thing that God says, set guard over, your heart. And yet we fill our hearts with garbage on a daily basis from the TV or focusing on negative things. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 5, he said, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Paul's speaking here about taking captive of our thoughts. And in verse 4, the verse just before this, he said, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." So he's telling us here, if we're going to fight the good fight of faith, we better do it by taking captive of our thoughts and making them obedient to Christ. You know, friend, the real spiritual warfare that we go through on a daily basis takes place in our mind. It is here that the devil brings temptation. It always begins in the mind. It's here where the devil brings discouragement. You begin to think negative thoughts, and before long, it changes your whole life. It's here in the mind that the devil accuses us. But God tells us in Romans 8, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." And it's here in the mind that Solomon said, "Guard your heart, for out of it proceed the issues of life." You live out of your heart, friend. What you think on determines your actions. Did you know that every affair, every nervous breakdown, everything like this, every relapse, they begin in the heart? The Bible is full of examples of men and women who struggled in the area of their thoughts, their feelings, and their emotions. Moses got so discouraged that he broke the tablets, the Ten Commandments, the stone that had been inscribed by the finger of God. Abraham became so fearful that he lied and he told the king Sarah was his sister and not his wife, something he would later regret. And how about David when he fell with Bathsheba? No doubt he had an affair of the mind before he ever summoned the woman to come to his quarters. Let me just give you a few examples today of what I call stinking thinking that's found in the pages of Scripture that can help us to guard our hearts against such thoughts. You and I have to guard our hearts, friend. Some of the thoughts the devil puts there can really lead to bringing us down and bringing us into discouragement and fear. First thought I want to talk about is that fear that I'm not enough. You know, the deck is stacked against me and I can't win. How many times do those thoughts come into our mind where we think, you know, there's no use? That's the way Elijah felt. The Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter 18, and Elijah and confronts the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he's fearless. He says, am I the only one? I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets yet, and Baal has 450 prophets, and he gets two bulls, one for them and one for him, and he lets them go first. They call on their God for fire, and nothing happens. Then Elijah calls on the name of the Lord God. And the Bible says the fire came down, it consumed the sacrifice, and it licked up all the water. And then the people recognized that God is God. But you know, it didn't take long till Elijah was discouraged. The Bible says Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." And the Bible says this in verse 3 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." See, the first thought that the devil likes to put in our mind is, the deck is stacked against me. I can't win. Did you ever feel like that? Like the system is against you, and maybe you work for a jerk, and perhaps you you don't feel you're getting paid what you deserve? No one will listen. And all of a sudden you find yourself losing when you should be winning. But remember, friend, the battle takes place in the mind. That's a common discouraging thought that believers have from time to time. Satan tries to use this against them. How do I overcome it? By realizing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul said, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." What's a weapon we can use? You pick up the sword of the Spirit. In Philippians 4:13, we say, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." Or how about 1 John 4? In verse 4, he said, "He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world." Elijah needed to change his focus, get his eyes off the problem, and get his eyes back onto God, who's bigger than his problem. I love the story because in 1 Kings 19, when you look down to verse 9, there he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death. And I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me." What was he thinking now? Now he's thinking, "Nobody cares for me. I'm all alone." Notice the first two thoughts that Elijah had were both exaggerated. The devil holds up a magnifying glass so many times to our circumstances, wanting us to think that we're in a unwinnable situation. But Elijah had won. Probably the greatest victory that a spiritual leader could ever have. He had put God to the test, and God came through for him. In addition, Elijah may have felt that he was the only prophet left, but that's an exaggeration too, because if you look back at chapter 18, verse 4, it says this in verse 4, "When Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in two caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water." See, God had all these prophets who had never bowed a knee to Baal, but Elijah was discouraged and the devil was magnifying his situation. So how do we combat discouragement when we feel like we're all alone? We pick up the sword again. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 tells us, "Be strong and courageous.
Do not be afraid and terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Friend, I want you to know today the situation you're going through, God is bigger than any problem. He's bigger than any situation you're facing. You can take the words of Jesus in Matthew 28. In verse 20, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." For our third thought that we have to overcome in our mind, we go to Matthew the 11th chapter and look at the story of John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus. You remember, this is John who said of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is John who said, "Lord, I'm not even worthy to loosen your sandals, much less baptize you." But that same John who said, "I must decrease so that he may increase," he sends word in Matthew 11 to Jesus. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" And Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and what you see." How does John go from "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world" to "Are you the one, and should we expect someone else?" Oh, it can happen, friend. It can happen really quick if you don't guard your heart. What's the thoughts behind John's actions here? I believe he's probably thinking something like, "I miss God and I've wasted my life." One of the most discouraging thoughts that we can go through in our life is when we look at life in a natural perspective instead of an eternal perspective. I can remember years ago where there came a point where I dealt with such discouragement. I had sang to thousands, and yet my congregation was struggling and the numbers were small. And I remember crying out to God, and I just wanted to quit. I just wanted to quit. And God spoke into my spirit that what he had promised me would come to pass. I remember I called a friend of mine this one particular Sunday, and I had a number one hit song with her back in 1987, a song called "Spirit Eyes," and she said, "Keith, I've got a word for you," and she read Psalm 46 to me, which says this: "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells." And then it said this in verse 5, "God is with her, and she will not fall. God will help her at the break of day." Wow. And then he goes down. Let me just wind this up. In verse 10, he said, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us." My friend, don't let the devil tell you you've wasted your life, and don't tell him to tell you that it's not worth it serving God. My friend, the good news is you can change your circumstances by guarding your heart. Change the way you think. Refuse to give in when the enemy plants a seed of doubt and discouragement or frustration. It doesn't have to be fatal. We can guard our heart and see that God will bring encouragement into our lives. I love Hebrews the 11th chapter, because that's the hall of fame where God lists all these people who by faith they overcome. Well, the amazing thing is all these people are not considered heroes of faith because they never failed, but they were in that book because they prevailed over the long haul. In spite of all of their discouraging thoughts, their seasons of doubt, that was not the end of the story. God showed up for all of them, and he lifted them out of the miry clay. Friend, I want you to know something today. No matter what you're going through, God is on your side. God will be there during the discouraging moments, and he will lift you, and he will bring you into victory in your life. I want you to know today, God has a plan for your life, my friend. He's going to see you through. Guard your heart, for out of it proceed the issues of life. Thank you for joining us today for the program, and we'll see you each weekday at this same time. God loves you. He really, really does. Walk in his grace now. Stop by our website at weneedgod.com and drop me a line today. Let me know you're listening.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.